Welcome to Untold Stories, a production of the Florida Theater and WJCT Public Media. Tonight's program was recorded May 30th, 2024. The theme, spring.
Our next storyteller, he's like a star in my book. What he has done, he's ingrained in our community. His name is Aaron Gottlieb. And it's fascinating. His story's fascinating, and I just can't wait for him to share it with you. So please give a big round of applause to Aaron.
It's a boat, it's taking water. Won't be long till it goes down. Hard enough to push us over. Time to turn the wheel around.
Thank you. So when I was 13 years old, I didn't know it at the time, but I was going to learn my first business lesson. I had grabbed a shirt from over in Five Points. There was a shop called Edge City. It's still there today. Yes. It's been there forever since I can remember. And when that day, and when I got home from Edge City, I took that shirt into the kitchen, and usually on Saturday, I'd find my father, and he would be sitting at the kitchen table, and he'd be eating cereal. And I pulled out this shirt, and I held it up, and I said, check it out. And on one side, it had the Edge City logo, but when you flipped it around, it had a globe and a message. It said, think globally, act locally. Yeah, exactly. My dad looked at the shirt, and he smiled, and he said, you know, I really like the message on that shirt. And I think that you should consider that in a lot of the decisions that you make in life. You see, my dad was a businessman in Jacksonville ever since before I was born. He had a company called Gottlieb's Financial Services. It did medical billing for emergency rooms. Well, I didn't find it really exciting, but he grew a business from a one-room operation that could probably fit in my bathroom with one employee. And by the time that he sold the company, he had over 700 employees and a 100,000 square foot building off of the corner of Atlantic and University Boulevard. Yep, I remember it well. He told me that the secret to his success was, well, at least one of them, was that he liked to keep that all of his business under one roof, no matter how large he grew. Now, you've got to remember, he started with one hospital at St. Vincent's in Jacksonville. But by the time he had sold his company, he had hospitals all the way to Alaska. So he liked the fact that he could walk through his company and go into his phone call center. He could go into his IT department, and he could deliver a quality that nobody else could because he was present. It was something that keeping things local always stayed in my mind as I started my career. So in the early 90s, I was going to school in Atlanta. I went to Emory University for anthropology. And I also was overweight my whole life. And I had dropped about 80 pounds. And I decided that I wanted to get a job in a health food store. And so I found a job at a local health food store called Return to Eden. It was a mom and pop shop. And it had a father, son, and daughter, and team, and I enjoyed working with them every day, but they let me really understand natural foods. I got to work every department in the store, whether it was the juice bar or whether it was the front end, but there was one job they had given me that I had to do every day. It was called facing the shelves. If you've been in the grocery business, I think you know what it is. It's probably the most mundane, boring job you could have. It's the process of going to the first at the beginning of the aisle to the first shelf and pulling all the products forward and going through and doing it so the store would look abundant because after it had gotten shopped. And none of the employees would do it right. Everybody would pull the first two boxes forward, but I would take the time to take everything and pull it forward so we didn't have to do it throughout the day. I couldn't get a grasp on how to do a mundane job day in and day out, so I had to play a little game. I didn't know that this game was going to affect how I ran my business later on. Some people tell me I'm a little crazy, but what I did was I would grab the first box, and I would start memorizing the ingredients before I got started, and then as I faced the shelves and I would go through it, I would run those ingredients through my head. And as I ran them through my head, if I missed one, I'd stop down at the bottom, go back to the top, grab the item, and start reading the ingredients over again, and then I would go back to where I'd left off and do it. Now, I learned a lot of products that way. It's really the foundation of how Native Son began. But one day, I was standing in the dairy aisle, and while I was there, I was facing the shelves, minding my own business, reading the ingredients, doing it over and over again, and my boss was behind me, and he was helping a customer with food allergies. And back in the early 90s, food allergies was not something people took seriously. If you had a food allergy, most people thought you were just a quack, and nobody wanted to take you seriously. But I had been reading all these ingredients, so I knew that there was hidden ingredients in the foods people ate. And my boss was helping her, and she just had said that she might go anaphylactic if she has these ingredients. And as he read the box, he said, "It'll be fine." I froze. I'm just standing there, and I'm going, "What do I do?" And unfortunately, or fortunately, out of my mouth, I blurted, "You're gonna kill her." He wasn't happy, and he said, "What?" in a really rough tone. And I said, "You're gonna kill her." So I spun around, and I shared with him. I grabbed the box, and I showed where the ingredient was. And afterwards, we got her the right product, and then he thanked me and said, "How did you learn all this?" And I told him about my sick little game. So, in return, he helped me with a lot of learnings around that store during that time. But around 1995, Atlanta was preparing for the Olympics to come, and I just found out from my landlord that my rent was going to quadruple. So that next day when I went to work and I told my boss that, he informed me that my pay would not be quadrupling, and I decided, I think it's time to leave Atlanta. So my wife-to-be and I decided that maybe we should move back to Jacksonville, and we were on a call with my father, and my father said, "Hey, listen, if you do move back, I will be your mentor, and I'll help you get started in your business. And it'll be a small business, y'all will have to work hard and build it on your own, but I will be there for support." And in addition, my boss told me that he would do a very solid thing for me. He would call all the manufacturers and the distributors and tell them that I was starting a business and ask them to help me out. I was 21 years old when he did this, and I didn't know how crazy that was. But in 1997, Native Son opened. Thank you. Now you know Native stand for I was moving home. And Son was my parents were my mentors, and I was coming back to be with them. Yes. I switched it to S-U-N, obviously, as a marketing play. I'm moving back to Florida. It all played out, blah, blah, blah. So as you can see, over the years, it got really popular because we did something a little different. We weren't a health food store. We were a natural food store. And so we were filled with groceries, not vitamins. And so people saw a lot of firsts in our store. We were the first to bring Jacksonville organic produce. We were the first to bring Jacksonville organic meat. And we were one of the only stores in the United States that banned GMOs in all the foods that we had in our stores. But as exciting as it was, people started coming in and commenting, going, "Hey, when are you going to open up in our neighborhood?" Whether it was Riverside, whether it was the beaches, everybody wanted us to be there, and we really kept hearing what my dad's message was: keep it under one roof. You can keep control if you keep it under one roof. So we would say that to people, say, "We just want to be happy, have one store." And then the tone changed. The tone changed from, "When are you going to open in my neighborhood?" to, "Where if you don't, we're going to ask Whole Foods to." So I open up a health food store, and nobody even knows what these ingredients are. And once I give people access to them, they start to want it so much that they're going to bring in my competitor, which really is hurtful to us. And so we were very upset. And the calls that we were hearing about, was Riverside was calling Austin, Texas. The beach was calling Austin, Texas. And one day I was driving down Hendricks Avenue, and I looked up in a window, and there was a sign that said in big letters, "Bring Whole Foods to San Marco." Yeah, oh. That's how I felt. So at the end of the day, Whole Foods, they responded, and they said, "We're going to come to Jacksonville." And around 2005, they made this announcement. But they didn't go to Riverside, and they didn't go to the beaches. They did what large corporations love to do to the local company. They came a mile from Native Son and Mandarin. It was a blow, and I started to question what my father had told me. He had told me to keep it all under one roof, and I go, you know what, he had a flaw to it, because he owned an office, and I own a retail operation. I need to be close to all of these people. So in 2006, I decided that I would open up the second Native Son. It was off the corner of Bay Meadows and 295. It was going to be beautiful, and it was going to be our flagship store. It was amazing, but my dad was right. I couldn't keep control of it once it opened up to save my life. I have to tell you, you wouldn't believe how tough it is to keep chicken salad between two stores, the recipes identical. Because we're a small business, I would have one farmer deliver broccoli to one store and another farmer deliver broccoli to the other store at two different prices, but my system could only handle one. But over time, I figured it out and things were good. Around 2015, the industry started to really change. Most of y'all may not know that why that year is significant to our industry, but that's the year that Amazon decided to buy Whole Foods. Oh yeah, it was oh. So you would think that I would hone it in, but I decided to do the opposite. I doubled down and I said, listen, I'm gonna be Jacksonville's community grocer and I'm gonna do so by opening up another store. I'm going to open up a Beaches location, but I'm going to do it a little bit different. This store is going to be my smallest of my three stores, and I'm going to make it where everything is in walking distance or biking distance so I could have a true community grocer. Those other areas of town were great, but they didn't have that access. I opened up the store, and just like in 2006 when I opened up the Bay Meadows store, it was really problematic. I did not know how to run three stores, but I had great management, and we all put our heads together, and we started to figure it out. But Amazon buying Whole Foods wasn't the only problem going on in our world in Jacksonville. We had Winn-Dixie across the street from us, of our Bay Meadows location, decide they're going to open up their version of a Whole Foods with the Winn-Dixie banner. Publix kept telling us they were going to be opening up Greenwises in new neighborhoods around our stores. And then we had Lucky's and we had Earth Fair come to Jacksonville, if y'all remember them.
I do.
Yeah, I do too. And it had gotten to the point where the competition got so tough that what was happening was for every time that I served a customer at the store and that basket went out to them, I could have handed them a $20 bill for the amount of money I was bleeding out at that time. It was really, really painful. In August of 2019, I had enough. I lost my life savings, I lost my company, and I was forced to close all three stores. I mean, I don't know if I can think of, that was probably one of the top experiences of my life that really, really crushed me. It was a blow. I don't cry easily. This one brought me to tears. And about a week after I had closed the stores down, I'm sitting in front of my computer on my couch at home, typing away, tears are running down my face. I'm writing letters to people to say, hey, I'm gonna pay you. I was helping employees find new jobs. I was trying to figure it all out, and I got this crazy phone call from somebody I barely knew. An acquaintance I had met in the industry had called me up, and his name was Taylor, and he said, hey, Aaron, this is Taylor. I own a store. I used to own stores down in South Florida, and I lost all three of them last year due to competition. I want to fly to Jacksonville and tell you my story so you can learn all the things that I had to go through that made me miserable to help you be a little less miserable. So I was blessed to have a guy I barely know fly to Jacksonville, come sit down with me in my office, and go through all my bills and say, hey, this guy, they're not messing around. They're going to sue you. These people, talk to them. They'll work with you. So I'm blessed to have all these notes coming to me from some guy I barely know. And around lunchtime, I asked my father to come to lunch with us. I said, hey, listen, I want you to meet this guy, Taylor. He's a really nice guy doing a really solid thing for us. So we went to Mandaloo. It's a Mediterranean restaurant off of Bay Meadows Road. And while we're sitting at Mandaloo, Taylor tells me his story, which I hadn't heard yet. He had three stores just like Native Son, but he had a lease agreement with one of his locations. And because of that, he couldn't close it down. And so instead, he decided to close the two operations in the offices, and then by himself, he would go back to his operation and run that one store every day. And within 6 months, I think it was, he tripled his sales. And after he told me the story, he stopped. And he looked at me and he said, you know, Aaron, I'm shocked that you didn't keep one of your stores open because you're a great retailer. You know the products better than anybody I know. You love helping customers, and you're really good at it. So why did you close all three? I was crushed hearing these words that someone thinks I should reopen a store that I just closed the week before. So I look over to my father for support, and he's sitting at the table, and instead of being by my side the way I thought he would, he had a smile on his face, and he looks up at me and he goes, "That's what I think you should do too. But I just want you to be happy." It's all he ever wanted. So I feel like I have literally a dagger in my chest. It's one of the most painful things to hear that what you just lost and your life savings, two people that you have to trust are telling you that you should reopen one of those locations. So the next morning, I woke up after I had slept on it, and I was thinking about what else am I going to do? And I realized they might be right. So in February of 2020, I made this awesome decision to reopen Native Son Jack's Beach. I decided I'm going to be a community grocer again. Now, the awesome part about that moment was Lucky's and Earth Fair, the two that were the wounded tigers scrapping it out, really hurting me financially. We got a phone call right before we opened up, and what we heard was that Lucky's and Earth Fair decided to leave the state of Florida. They couldn't handle it. Yeah, believe me, celebrate that. Thank you. So I felt very lucky, even though everyone thought that I must have had some master plan. And then I really showed how much I didn't, because 7 days later, before we had told anybody that we had opened, y'all all know what happened. We all found out that worldwide we can't do anything. COVID has shut down the world. Yeah. I thought, why me? I cannot believe this is happening to me. After everything I've been through, I have to go through this. And then after my little pity party, which I got through, I realized that it wasn't just me, it was everybody. And sat down and really thought about how am I going to move this forward. And I had this message in my head that just kept coming up throughout the years, but it was really loud at that time. Think globally, act locally. Well, I've done the global thing, at least in my world, did a lot in the industry. But I really never focused on the businesses in the local community. So I picked up the phone, and I called Tom Gray. He owns Prati Italia over in Town Center. And I said, "Tom, what are you going to do now that COVID's here?" And he says, "You know, I'm sitting down with my CPA, and we're trying to figure out how we're going to keep our employees." And I said, "Well, I don't know about all that, but what I can do is teach you how to sell your products in a retail format, and we can get some of your income coming into your stores." And I called vendor after vendor that I knew in the community, people who I've never done business with, and just asked them what they were doing. And I started to invite them into this fold of what Native Son's become, a community grocer. I'm proud to say that I have over 70 local vendors from all over Jacksonville serving us, from farmers to restaurants today. Thank you. Well, even the cooler part is I don't depend on all the distribution anymore, because over 50% of our sales are coming from those 70 vendors. So, yes, think locally. Think globally, act locally. Oh, that would screw me up. It's a message that I saw on a T-shirt when I was 13 years old, and my dad told me to keep it in mind. It's also the message that saved Native Son. So, thank you. So think globally, act locally. Those are simple words. They serve Native Son, and they help me take a company that collapsed and rebirth it. I hope that all of you take those words and keep them in your mind. And when you've got big decisions to make, remember, think globally, act locally. Yeah. Thank you.
Untold Stories is a production of the Historic Florida Theater in partnership with WJCT Public Media. Barbara Colicello is the artistic director. Numa Saislin is the president of the Florida Theater. Jeremy Moore and Eric Stanfield recorded the live performances of Untold Stories. The Untold Stories broadcast and podcast was produced by Brady Corum and Letitia Barriola. Saul Lucio is the technical director. The live performances of Untold Stories were made possible by a generous gift from the Wolfberg family.